Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, AfterBuzz fans, welcome to another edition of the Sword Art Online After Show, Episode 3, Memories of Fresh Blood, and Episode 4, GGO. Well, joining me on the panel tonight is a group of really wonderful people. Why don't you all introduce yourselves?
It's me, Dario!
And I'm Lizzie G.
I'm Megatron.
And now that Megatron has fallen, I, Katie Scream, will be the lead host of Sword Art Online!
So you guys went video games, we went Transformers, that's how that goes.
Anyway, guys,
how are you guys feeling about your initial takes on these two episodes? I'm feeling really good about this series so far.
I missed last week's episode, and I missed you guys so much. And I just came into it expecting to kind of be like, what, you know, because I wasn't too excited about the last series.
Exactly.
And now this one is just taking a whole new life of its own that we have no idea what's going to happen. I'm super excited about it.
It's fun and hilarious, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Yay!
And it's just gorgeous to look at. The action sequences, especially the one from last episode, was just phenomenal.
And there's a lightsaber.
I'm sorry, it's a laser sword.
No, it's a
he brought a laser sword to a gunfight.
Right.
Sorry, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. Like, especially episode 3 where you don't even spend any time in GGO. It's just kind of like all character development.
Yeah.
You get to know how intricate and complicated Sinon or Shino is. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of really good stuff this for these two episodes.
And I'm so happy that we got it right away and we didn't have to wait till like episode 12. Like, oh, here's her tragic backstory and how it comes into play. Yeah. It's like, right. Nope, here you go. You got the basis, let's roll.
On the one hand, I agree with that because I do enjoy that instant gratification. On the other hand, I do worry that maybe that's showing the cards too early.
Yeah, but you know what? There's still so much mystery behind it. Like, why is she far away from home? Where is her mother? So there's still a lot more to get into it. But I'm also laughing mostly at the fact that she freaks out over a finger. And then I just heard Cartman singing, I'm gonna finger bang bang you into my life.
And we've skirted possibly explicit rating. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, so let's go ahead and talk about this episode. This episode focuses on Sinon, or Asada Shino. I am going to have hard time pronouncing these names.
Asada.
So much hard time.
Ooh, I like Asada. Okay, I can do that. Thank you. You know what's up.
So much
think
hard
with
time.
Your stomach.
Shut up. Anyway.
I'm telling you, I'll take
over. But basically, this. Watch yourself, Starscream. You don't want to know what happens to people who defy Megatron. Anyway. Anyway, so basically, this episode focuses on her and on her development, which, again, we understand why she has this kind of need. She feels like she needs to get stronger, is basically the point. So basically, we start off with her kind of getting cornered by a group of bullies who are trying to extort her into giving them money, which was... people are D-bags. Anyway. But
we
spent
too much money on karaoke and now we don't have bus fare. Can we have your money?
Well, the thing of it is, it's very interesting too because, I mean, if we look at a lot of different anime and we look at, it is a part of Japan, like that's kind of their bully system, especially with like girl gang groups and stuff like that. The intimidation that they pull, you know, it is something that, I feel like Japanese bullying has like it's a very different from like when we see like American bullying, like it's totally different.
It's either completely physical or completely psychological, and that's what these girls are doing. They're trying to like very psychologically affect her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't even have to lift a finger.
And people seem to... But she didn't. But people seem to think, I think people in the real world, they happen to know her thing, like her fear. Because, I mean, she did that on purpose. Like, oh, you don't like my dad has this gun and stuff and blah, 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 blah. So they seem to know her issues.
Which at first...
she freaked out in the middle of class, threw up and fainted. Oh, so, I do that too in class when I was in school. I was just in a miserable place.
When the bully initially said that, you know, she's talking about her dad's gun, like, I was initially like, whoa!
Yeah, like, you think she's threatening her with it, and then it comes to light a little more that just the talk of it, you know?
Is enough to make
Duck this... Hunt would have been over the edge for that kid if she was born in
actually,
era.
No, she seems to do really well with video games. Yeah. Like, that's kind of the point.
But like, NES.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
But so that's the thing, is when she refuses them, all these girls have to do is get up and make their finger look like a pistol and go bang, and she has this panic attack and just completely freaks out. And if her friend Shinkawa hadn't come up to save the day, you know, they would have stolen all her stuff.
Yeah. So. Because her friend essentially grabbed a police officer.
Well, no, he was pretending. There weren't actually any cops.
He just said, oh, yeah, the police this way. I'm interested, too, because I thought she did grab the bag. And I'm like, wait, they all have the same bags. How do you know you grabbed the right bag?
Well, yeah, she did grab the bag, but then, like, you know.
But then with the cops coming, she's like, dang it. So they leave, and... No.
When did the cops arrive? They haven't been called.
nice clue reference. Anyway, so Shinkawa and her go, they go to a cafe, and they just kind of start talking gun gale because it's something that they're both really passionate about. And he was actually the one that got her into the game, into gun gale online. And now she's way better than And you can just tell it kind of annoys him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm the newbie now. When did that happen?
That happens in all groups of gamer friends, though. I've had friends like that, too. Like, I think I had a whole thing about it. I was like, I used to suck at Rainbow Road, and now I'm amazing at it. And I will not fall off, and I will challenge you, and I will always pick that stage, and you'll hate me for it.
And you're like, why did I let Liz play Mario Kart? I never should have done that. Anyway, but yeah, and so they start talking about the next upcoming Bullet of Bullet tournament.
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah, the B.O.B.
Have you entered Bob yet?
Oh,
well,
gosh.
That was not what I
intended. We just reached all sorts of levels of inappropriate that I don't think we've touched on before.
It's
going to
be
show.
That kind of show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they start talking about this Bullet of Bullet tournament. Yeah, I know, right?
They start talking about Bob, and poor Bob's not even there.
But that's kind of interesting that, you know, because they've obviously had this tournament before, and I think Shinon has done pretty well in it, actually, before. But was it the person who was murdered, was he the one that was the B.O.B. champion?
Yes.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense
now. Yeah.
And that's kind of unsettling, though, that the B.O.B. champion was murdered and that everybody's really excited for the next one.
Well, it won't happen to me.
Just means less competition, right?
It also seems, though, that a lot of people seem to think it's like a rumor. Like, a lot of people, even though there is a sound clip that somebody recorded of this death gun, or is it gun death?
Death gun.
Who dispenses gun death.
Yes. But I just think it's one of those things where it seems, later on when we see Kirito, he seems to think that, you know, it's a rumor, 99%, da-da-da-da, and he doesn't seem to be just, like, because it was him that killed people, the actual person itself that exists. Like, even the characters in the game start talking about, like, well, that didn't really happen.
Well, yeah, there's no reason for them to believe it outright.
Because the guy could have had a heart attack or something.
Yeah.
And if he died at all.
Yeah, and the media is keeping it under wraps, so there's been no reports of these people actually dying. The only people who know are...
The government,
yeah.
And the poor people that had to smell the bodies.
But, of course, we as the audience know that, you know... People.
Something is afoot.
Something is up. Something nefarious is going on. But
another
murder guild.
I
want Laughing Dolphin.
I'm so excited for the prospect of a murder mystery for this arc. I'm just so happy.
Oh, we know.
Well, those were my favorite episodes from the first season. Anyway.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying,
so
we know.
When they part ways, she goes back to her apartment, and it is very clear she lives alone. And I guess that's just because she's going to high school in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I guess that's far from home.
She talked to her grandfather, I think.
Yeah, but not talking to her mom.
Yeah.
So
there's more into it. That's why I said I don't think it's too bad. I'm glad that we know a little bit about that. It makes the character much more interesting as to why, when you're in this world, is it like okay? I mean, even holding whatever that gun was in her drawer, that I'm
yeah, it was a model gun.
It was a model gun. So it's like a model gun still freaks her out when she's holding it, but to hold a gun that actually, quote unquote, if anybody's not watching, I'm doing little bunny ear quotes, you know, then actually do damage to someone in the game. It's just so interesting to me that her psyche or whatever, you know, psychology.
For whatever reason, she's able to, like,
disassociate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the perfect word for it.
Well, she has another name, another appearance. She can essentially become another person and leave the real world issues behind.
Yeah, and
it's a defense mechanism.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, like, she's still actually, like, in the game, it feels and really is like you're pulling a trigger, and then as opposed to just, like, of a gun that works to shoot, and then you're just pulling a model. Like, it's very interesting.
But she's a little different. Shino when she's in the game. She's Shinon, and that's different. She's a different
person.
But
it is interesting because in the you know, the way they have the virtual world set up, you basically are holding a gun and pulling the trigger, as opposed to the way we have video games now, where, you know, you're hitting a button on a controller and that fires the gun.
Yeah.
They're very different experiences. Although with the Oculus Rift, you know, who knows? Who knows where gaming's going to go?
Right. I mean, and there's no blood in the game, so it's completely different from real life.
Slightly different.
Red shards.
We should probably go ahead, just speaking of blood, we should probably go ahead and get into her backstory then. When she was young, I don't recall how old she said she
was. Wasn't she like 8 or 10?
She was tiny.
Little.
She was bitty.
She was tiny, and she and her mom is a single mom. Apparently her dad died when she was really young, which, again, I'm kind of wondering if her dad is actually dead.
Yeah.
Just her dad is Death Gun.
I don't know.
I'm willing to keep that a possibility. But so, you know, she's being raised by a single mom, and they're at the bank one day, and
it's actually a post office. Yeah.
Was it a post office?
Why
would you rob
a post office?
Anyway.
Japan.
I assumed it was a bank. Anyway.
Because why would you rob a post office?
Well, to be fair, the man looked crazy. So
he was drooling on the way.
Yeah, like, so it's clearly not the best. Anyway.
Liberty stamps! Get out!
Anyway, there is this would-be robber, and he goes in and he shoots, you know, one of the post office employees, and is fully prepared to shoot her mother when she interferes.
Yeah, and she bites him.
She bites him, and he loses hold of the gun, and she manages to shoot him not once, but three times? Once,
because,
you know,
he wouldn't go down.
Yeah, he kept coming at her.
And he had psycho eyes,
stomach, chest, head.
And then when she finally hit him in the head.
That was so awesome.
It clearly traumatized her mom, and it traumatized her.
But that's the thing that's so messed up, too, is, like, I get it. I get the mother just being like, what the hell just happened? But just the fact that the fear that the mother had toward her daughter, just, I mean, definitely kind of makes you wonder, put two and two together, why they're not speaking. But it's like... B-word, I just saved your life, you know?
Because she was prompted, obviously. You know, she wanted to save her mother. But at the same time, I don't know how I would react if I just saw my child shoot a guy in the head.
I mean, I'm
not, like, defending. Like, I definitely think you should forgive your kid.
Yeah.
Everything like that.
Forgive you for saving me.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean.
Yes.
You should get over it because your kid did it to save you.
I'd also like to point out.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I don't really know much to either aside from other countries, but I think in Japan, it's also one of those things where it's not like people go, I'm sure they have psychologists and therapy and everything like that, but it's not something that is as open that people like really go to seek that kind of stuff after traumatizing events, and it's not something where like maybe they didn't seek it because it's like a shame to like that we're just gonna pretend this didn't happen. You know,
Shinon needs it.
Oh yeah,
that's actually what I was about to say.
I mean, it's been how many years?
She obviously needs some form of therapy if she's getting triggered so badly.
Pat,
just
triggered.
From no, that's actually the term.
No, I know, but it's funny. Yeah.
If she's getting triggered so badly just from images of guns or seeing guns in media that it causes her to have a full-on panic attack.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah. But it's very interesting that she's finding the therapy through the game.
Yeah, and that's why we find out that she actually is actively participating in Gun Gale Online, because she initially thought that it would be a good way to kind of deal with her fear of guns. But instead, she
seems to be working.
Yeah, not at all.
Well, she said the first time she was in the game, she never freaked out at all. But then, I mean, it's still kind of
being a different person and knowing that it's not real.
Did she not mention to her grandfather that the panic attacks or whatever, they're getting a little better? Was that part of the conversation? Or maybe it was to her friend.
I don't recall.
It may have been in her monologue when she was doing.
Yeah.
It seems like a ritual when she grabs the gun. So I'm assuming over time, the more she does it, it's getting better.
Yeah. She's like, oh, okay, I was able to hold on to it for 5 seconds before I threw up.
Yeah.
As opposed to just one.
Yeah.
Progress?
Yeah.
So on the one hand, I can see where her passion for the game comes from, because in the game she has no fear. Mm-hmm. She has nothing to fear. She has power in the the virtual world. But it really doesn't seem to, I mean, granted, we haven't seen how she reacted before, but yeah, it just doesn't seem to be helping her in real life. But
she's
in the game,
if a zombie apocalypse comes,
she'll just do it with a baseball bat.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to use guns in the zombie apocalypse.
Go like Akira.
Oh, we're in Z Nation after this, and that's one of the.
If you want to go Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon has a crossbow. That's great. Anyway, so we wrap up with her backstory, and we actually go over to ALO, and we continue the conversation that Kirito had with Asuna, and he's explaining that he's converting his character for a couple days, but doesn't tell her why.
Yeah.
Which I was giving him a pat on the back last week because I'm like, good, you're telling your girlfriend. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You are not telling your girlfriend. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Do yourselves a favor and try not to, because we're watching this on Hulu, try not to scroll down to the comments that people leave from Facebook that appear at the bottom.
No, of course not.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
No.
That happened.
No. Oh, no. Did you get spoiled for something?
Not really spoiled so much. I think people, I'm going to say it because the people who said it didn't say it happens. They say, I think it happens. But they talk about the relationship between Kirito and Asuna. And, I wonder if they're going to break up. Oh, they're my favorite character, though. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Well, after all the crap we went through, they break up.
So I'd be really ticked.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
I didn't sit through that entire second season for that.
Your hair's prettier than mine. I can't, in the Avatar world, I can't do this.
I did not sit through the entire second season for that. No spoilers, commenters.
Yeah, it would
nothing.
Be. It would be a cheat anyway, but yes, please, no spoilers in the comments. Anyway, but he does explain that he's going to be gone for a little while, and that's when we see him pull up to the hospital, and good old Nurse Aki is there. She's going to help him out and be there as a precaution, how unprofessional are you?
Nurse grab hands.
This is the most unprofessional nurse I've ever seen since Nurse Ratchet. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
but Ratchet.
She has kind of a weird, quirky mother figure kind of thing going on. Like, oh, you're not eating, or like,
I don't know about you,
she's
but my mother
grab
never grabbed
ass
my
with
ass.
The patient.
Yeah, no, she
that is
playing wholly inappropriate
grab ass with the patient. That's not.
Is he still a minor? Because that's not cool.
17?
Yeah, if that's true, he's still a minor.
Technically,
that's
in Japan,
cool.
I think that that's legal, but I'm not sure.
Whatever.
She's
I'm American.
Playing grab ass with a guy who's going to be unconscious in front of her. That's
still not cool.
Not okay.
Anyway,
not okay.
But anyway, the point of her being there is this is the ministry's way of saying we are taking every precaution with you as you go into Gun Gale Online.
And she
please return to the Silent Hill Hospital so we can watch over you there.
And she's the one who apparently finally helped him through his therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's very, and you know, it would make sense though. I mean, all thing jokes aside about her being inappropriate, it does make sense that they're getting someone who worked with the people from the game and that experience and knowing what could happen. You know, I feel like it's a whole other level of medical science that these people need to specialize in to understand what could happen with the nerve system.
She's specialized in taking care of people who are hooked up to nerve gear.
Now, shut up.
Exactly. Pretty much.
And she seemed almost disappointed when he's like, can it just be the shirt?
Yeah.
I guess.
Fine.
Fine.
But he dives into the game. But then we get kind of a very cryptic scene from what looks like whoever Death Gun happens to be. I don't know for sure if that's him, but you know, he's watching people commenting, you know, talking about Death Gun, about how, oh, it's a rumor. Oh, well, Death Gun, if you're really out there, come get me, you know, that sort of thing.
Because people are really, truly that stupid.
Yep.
Well, that's the internet for you.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
That doesn't concern, if this is Death Gun, it doesn't concern him. He's just scrolling through his victims. And they've got X's over their pictures, over their icons. And the next icon to come up is Xenon's.
If that is Death Gun,
it looks like he has a new victim picked out.
Yeah. And they also, I love the side where they have to show every single psychotic, creepy murderer character has a smile that, like, really shouldn't go that far up his cheek. You know,
it's like a Joker smile.
Yeah.
I think it's Shinkawa.
I thought that too.
Her friend?
Like 2 seconds I thought that, just because it's like, it's a male character. We know he's a player. They didn't get into his character at all.
How do we know that Death Gun's a male character? Could be a voice modulator.
It's true.
Well, there's definitely a voice modulator being used, but when you saw the you can tell, I think it's a man.
You know, I didn't think about that, but looking at where he is in the opening, in the opening, you know, smiling and extending his hand, and then the very next person that we see is Death Gun.
Then there's like that, fire or something.
That is a very interesting theory.
Thank you again, opening titles, for giving away crap.
Well, it could be a woman playing as a male avatar.
Yeah. I mean, the concept has been
what I just
introduced.
Need, though, is we normally know how they design the woman characters to look like, and whoever we saw in the glimpse of the face down below, and
it
the
did
neck,
look very masculine. Okay, well, that basically wraps it up for this episode, although now I'm going to be looking at Shinkawa. I'm going to be like,
side-eyeing him.
I don't trust you now. I honestly hadn't thought of that. But anyway, before we go on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Guys, thank you so much for going to iTunes and rating and leaving a comment. We really appreciate that. And for all the people who comment on YouTube, we really do love your comments. And hopefully, no spoilers there. But guys, we really do appreciate it. And we really, for those of you who haven't, we would really love it if you did, because that shows our bosses that you like the show that we're putting on. And that you like the content here at AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz puts on like 80 shows a week.
That's 80 hours of content.
80 hours of content a week, which means they work 90 hours a week. It's ridiculous.
At least.
So please show your support. Show our bosses that you love this show.
Five stars.
Yes.
Yes, rate us 5 stars.
Because
you love us and we love you. That'd be great.
That would be very much appreciated. But anyway, to get back, episode 4, GGO.
GGO.
Much like the very first episode of SAO was a tutorial episode, this is basically the same. This is our tutorial episode for Gun Gale Online.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kirito.
I made something for you guys real quick.
Oh
here
yay.
We go.
It's just a little bit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. For those of you listening to the podcast, Steven has photoshopped some Star Wars. Kirito's face is over Luke Skywalker's. Death Gun's mask is over Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Xenon's face is over Han Solo. This is amazing.
I cried in the background.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
And that's what I do while I'm engineering.
This is the 90 hours of work Stephen puts into AfterBuzz.
He goes the extra mile.
Could you email this to me? This is going to be my new background.
I want this picture.
better than Tom Selleck Titan.
And this is just to this is just for all the viewers out there listening. We love when you listen live because we do. You can listen to it live on the AfterBuzz TV show, and you can listen on iTunes. But this kind of gives you some initiative to watch our YouTube channels.
Exactly.
So, yeah. There you go.
Oh gosh, that made my day. Nice. I'm so happy now. But anyway, so Kirito hops into Gun Gale Online
and is immediately sexually harassed.
Because he looks and he has a very feminine avatar.
Well, I like how it just showed him and it's like, okay, it's him. And then all of a sudden he looks down and then there's just this waft of long hair.
And he's like, what?
And then, you know, we were having this discussion before we aired. You know, I as soon as I came in and I was like, so Kirito isn't actually a girl. And
yeah, it's kind of, it's not something that they make super clear, but again, I had to go to the SAO wiki after I watched the episode. But according to the SAO wiki, and please correct me if I'm wrong, he actually does have a male avatar.
He does.
It's just a very feminine-looking male avatar.
What, right. Anime aesthetic. Yeah. They make guys that look like girls sometimes because they're very pretty.
Well, what I'm laughing at, though, is the first thing I noticed, not only just, I could tell it was, he has a conversation with a guy trying to buy the avatar off him. And then when he says, I'm a guy, he goes, oh, it's the other avatar. So the guy, that was kind of the initiative to say, okay, yes, it is a male avatar, which made it even more rare. And also, the first thing I thought is, oh, God, those shoes. Those are not pretty shoes. That's definitely a male character. That is a male avatar. I'm not even into shoes that much, but that's the first thing. I had a clueless moment. From the movie, not
just
actually stupidity.
No girl avatar would be cut dead in those shoes.
Those are like clunky and
Don't you tap your little last season.
Don't you tap your little last season Prada or whatever
Thank you.
It was.
These aren't last season. Anyway. Anyway. Girly references aside. But
Legally Blonde is awesome.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful. But it was a very interesting conversation. Again, it's just kind of more of the game building.
Yeah.
But yeah, immediately Kirito gets harassed. And after he tells this guy that he can't sell his avatar.
And that he's a guy.
Yeah, and that he's a guy. He goes on and he gets a lesson in what it's like to be a female gamer. So for all of you.
Or female in general.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So take this to heart and be nice to your female gamers, guys.
Just be nice to everyone.
Yes, that too.
How difficult is that?
Yes.
And if anyone says very, you're wrong.
But anyway, it is kind of funny to see him put in this situation because it is something that he never had to deal with before. And it's just kind of like, okay, we're acknowledging that this is actually what it is like to be a girl who plays video games.
Because we even got that in the last episode with
Sinon,
yeah, because she was getting hit on.
Yeah, and just the whole glance down at her, the shorts into pants and everything like that with that one guy. So, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
It's there.
But anyway, speaking of Sinon, he actually runs into her. And initially she thinks, oh, great, you know, another person. But then when she actually looks at Kirito, she mistakes him for a girl. And instead of being
a noob.
Instead of being honest, he decides to play.
That scene was my favorite scene because the flashing into his face and his internal
monologue. She thinks
this is
going to
happen.
Hi. So I don't know where to go, and I need a gun, and I need to go to the administrative building.
It's really funny.
I feel like Asuna would murder him if she could see him right
Probably.
There.
Probably.
That's how I act when I want to sucker people into playing Super Smash Bros. I'll be the
evil.
Pink one.
She's evil. I said I was Starscream. She's freaking evil.
Well, yeah, I'm Megatron.
Right. Anyway,
have you not been paying attention?
But, that's what my phone's autocorrect says.
But anyway, because Sinon, obviously there aren't a whole lot of, at least as far as we can see, there haven't been a whole lot of girls in this game. And so Sinon can empathize because she's like, I remember when I was a noob too. And, you know, we girls should stick together. So she's willing to go and, you know, kind of go the extra mile to show Kirito the ropes.
Yeah.
So it basically is like playing Call of Duty.
Ish.
It's a bunch of guys and then a couple girls who are like, great.
I've never played Call of Duty, I'll be honest.
Yeah, Call of Duty Online. It's fun.
It's a thing,
It's fun. It happens. It happens.
So she takes him to this really, it reminded me of like a convention where they're showing off new models for like cars or something, but it was for the guns and all the
exactly.
weapons.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, she's taking, and again, this is our tutorial episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kirito says that his stats, he's got strength and then agility is what follows that. And, but he doesn't have any money.
Only 1,000.
Well, how convenient there happens to be this little gambling machine right here.
Well, this is my favorite part of the entirety of Sword Art Online so far.
And
everything.
But
and
yeah,
this is my favorite.
Yeah,
you're right.
She kind of offers him at first, like, I wouldn't recommend those, though, because those are kind of like, you're definitely more to miss than hit it. So why don't you do some, you know, some stuff for me? I guess she was like quests or errands or something.
Yeah, she was basically offering to lend him money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but then we see somebody actually try the game. And this is where the concept of bullet lines actually gets explained to Kirito, whereas you know, the first shot is kind of unpredictable, but after that you can see the bullet line, you can see where the bullet is going
I'm
to go.
I'm almost disappointed in a way, but I'm like proud of them and yet disappointed that this animatronic American cowboy.
I adore him. I'm gonna blow you to the moon.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's a real, like, American, it didn't sound like a Japanese person who actually doesn't speak English well at all. Like, the pronunciation, it sounded like someone who actually speaks English very fluently who did that character's voice.
It was so hilariously jarring that it was great.
Yes, but that's what I was kind of disappointed, because normally, I mean, I remember I watched, there's an anime called Ayuri Aoshi, and there's two characters. One is supposed to be an American, and one is supposed to be British, and there's a scene where they argue with each other in the Japanese, they argue with each other in English, and you can tell the voice actresses just do not speak English. Like, how dare you do that to me? Like, and I was kind of sad that this guy didn't do that.
So you're saying that you wanted it to be, like, super...
almost wanted it to be really bad English,
no,
but it wasn't.
You go ahead.
I just loved that it was so... Like, I actually had to double take, because I was like, wait, am I watching the dub?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Is there a dub?
It was great.
It was really great to hear that and just... You're so used to hearing Japanese and like, okay, I don't speak the language. I don't comprehend what's going on. What? Did that guy just threaten to blow me to the moon in a language I understand?
I know. It was pretty
great.
Although I do hope that when this does get dubbed, I hope they bring everybody from the original cast back, because I'm really looking forward to Bryce Papenbrook going, I'm just looking for where you register for, doing his girl voice. It's going to be amazing.
And then just keep the audio track from the Japanese for the anime. Animatronic guy.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Which it reminded me a lot of the shooting game from Back to the Future. So funny. Are you Yellow McFly? Anyway. Anyway, so we see this guy play the game, but Sinon basically says you're just sinking your money in, because there gets to be a certain point where by the time you see the bullet line, it's too late to actually react.
He goes into quick draw mode.
Exactly.
And if you manage to run up all the way, I think it's like 20 meters or something.
8 meters, he goes to quick draw.
Yeah, after 8 meters. But the full distance is like, what, 16, 20?
Yeah.
It's a way.
Which, I don't know, I don't know those meters.
Well, it's lots good to know. It's again, it's just kind of a tutorial. It's good to know that the closer you get to somebody in this game, your reaction time, it might not cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
well, but if he wins, he wins the pot, and it's like 300,000.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And so we see this guy fail, and of course, Kirito being Kirito, he's like, let me show y'all how it's done.
Still trying to act very naive about it at the same time, which was great.
Like, oh, I don't play games. I'm just going to win this one.
It's my first day.
Very much so. And he does. He does just that. Because he was able to get that tutorial from Sinon and watch somebody else do it, he's very much able to pick up on how to do it and how to win, which is one of the things that makes him such a great gamer, is because he can watch and observe and then apply that knowledge.
And he's also being very, I mean, so far since we've seen the game play out in Gungeo Online, we haven't really seen any characters being... as acrobatic as they would be in the fantasy games.
All really big guys who are
and
more concerned about having the bigger gun,
not,
the main fast.
Yeah, they're not doing like the ninja stuff and the jumping into the air 6 feet in and doing a flip and everything. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's the difference in the styles that they were talking about, like the agile versus the strength, and how everyone's taking on strength characters as opposed to agility. And so that will be, I'm assuming, down the line, his, like, golden
his
gun.
Well, and we know that from the first season that the dual wielding skill went to the player who had the fastest stats in the game. That's why he was able to have that skill.
Yeah.
And so being really fast is going to definitely become be a huge advantage for him if everybody else is focusing on strength.
What I don't understand though is after he wins and then he does this thing trying to play off like, oh, it must have been luck, or I just
beginner's luck,
beginner's luck, or you said to do that, so weren't you like, he pretends like, oh, I thought you were supposed to predict where they're going to be, like kind of airheaded kind of response, like, oh, it must have been luck. And what I know why he's doing it. He's supposed to be like this undercover character to really figure out what's going on and maybe not draw as much attention to himself in the beginning. Mm-hmm. However,
so he wins the unwinnable game right off the bat.
He's still Kirito. Like, he keeps telling everybody, like, don't call me that out loud. Like, don't call me that. But he's still, and I know it's because he modulated the same character, so maybe he has no choice but to go by that. But he's still Kirito. Like, that name. Right. God, put an extra character in it. Be Kirito. Something.
Something like that. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, granted, after getting such notoriety, though, having other people take that username actually might not be that uncommon.
Yeah.
But anyway, he does win the unwinnable game. And so what does he go do? He, of course, goes and stocks up a big arsenal. Or you can buy a lightsaber.
Which is fine.
You could do this gun, or you could do this gun, or you could do that one, or this one would work really well with your build.
I want
this
one.
Why are you looking at that? Nobody uses those. You have to get in really close.
Yeah.
Perfect!
And I love the way you were putting it earlier. He brought a knife to a gunfight.
He did. He brought a lightsaber to a chain gunfight.
Okay, bro.
You do whatever.
It even makes the sound effects. Yeah. It's so funny.
George Lucas is just like,
and he's going to use it to deflect bullets, and we're all just kind of like, okay.
There's a reason we had that Star Wars Photoshop.
But Sinon does convince him that, okay, you actually do probably need a pistol to back yourself up. So as much as, you know, you love the lightsaber, which we're not calling
burns off his clothes or his hair when he tries to
shave. He didn't stab himself in the ass, so we're okay.
Yeah, and again, it's just something that we keep seeing him do, because he did the same thing when he got out of SAO with the kendo sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was in that game for 2 years.
And I love that whenever he does it in a place where he's not supposed to, when he does it in the real world, when he does it in GGO, people just kind of stare at him like, what is wrong with you?
And he tries to play it off.
You got a problem.
He tries to play it off. He's like, oh, I came from a fantasy game. Like, I don't know these gun games. Like, this is more what I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Which is true, but he just plays it up like an airhead. So,
trying not to draw attention to himself.
Yeah.
Right.
But after he won the unwinnable game.
Sorry.
I said trying.
That ship has sailed.
But that whole scene afterwards when they're walking out after, you know, all right, we got your stuff. Oh, my God. We have like 5 minutes to get to this place.
We actually have a little bit of a tutorial, a little bit more tutorial, because she convinces him, you need to buy a pistol. And so they go for a little bit of target practice. And we get introduced to, it was the bullet circle, which is this big old circle in your line of vision when you're taking aim.
Yeah.
And the gun will fire, you know, the bullet will land anywhere within that
which
circle.
Which is very broad. And again, it was very interesting too. Like, it also, if you're calm, if it matches your pulse rate and stuff, which makes a lot of sense too. Because, I mean, somebody who's with shaky hands and freaked out, as opposed to someone who's really cool and everything and calm and collective. And then I thought it got pretty small. And then when it came back, it's like, I didn't even hit it.
Yeah, he was
that
nowhere.
That made me really happy.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
me
you're
too.
Not automatically good at something.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is good for it's interesting. It's
finally.
That's why I'm happy, because before we got Kirito going to the world with the elves and the flying fairies and everything, and he was amazing right off the bat, of course, and now he has to struggle and, I mean, yes, he still has his abilities and everything, but he still has to learn like a noob. And it's like, we've never seen that throughout this entire game.
Yeah, because it's a completely different game mechanic. Yeah. And it was kind of similar to when he was learning how to fly in ALO.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when he was, you know, even when he had difficulty with that, he still was able to beat the best player in the game after only playing for 2 days.
Yeah. But he did fly into a building.
And he was a beta tester in Sword Art Online, so he was walking in with a skill set that most other people didn't have.
Exactly.
Or at least the ability to remember how to get those skill sets. So.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this
It was nice to see him suck at something.
It was nice to see him struggle with a new type of game mechanic, because that is probably going to come into play at some point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's probably going to be a point where he gets disarmed with his lightsaber and he has to use the pistol, and he's going to have to remember, oh, what was that advice that she gave me that one time?
Yeah. I'd love to see him run out of bullets and then throw the gun. That is one of my favorite gunslinger tropes, and I love it whenever it happens. Trigun does that.
Laughing, though, because, again, here we get it where he's amazing at this game that's unbeatable, but he wins it, and then he gets the sword, and da-da-da, and then he sucks at the gun. And then what do we have later where he's really good at driving something that apparently has a lot
undrivable.
Of difficulty?
They hop on out, and lo and behold, they only have a couple more minutes before to register for B.O.B.
For Bob.
For Bob. You know, they lost track of time. And so what does he do? He uses some of the money he has left over to rent a buggy, and they just hop right into the freeway, and they're racing off.
And zoom off. And again, it's like, oh, well, I also played, like, you know, racing shows.
Well,
and
of course you did. Like, of course you did.
Because Xenon's like, these are impossible to drive. How are you doing this? Like, these are really difficult.
He also rides a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That was the first thing I thought before he said that he drove a motorcycle.
But again, he doesn't want to reveal. He doesn't want to reveal any information about himself if he can help it.
Yeah.
I get that, but at the same time, if he was like, oh, well, I ride a motorbike, you know, around.
Literally,
oh, my God, I know who you are. Like, the one person in
the
Japan.
The one person who rides a motorcycle.
You beat the unbeatable game.
And you drive
a motorcycle. You're a shonen protagonist.
But I mean, that even that bit of information, if the person who's killing people has access, or they're like an expert hacker, knowing that he has a motorcycle and plays online games, it's like, all right, Kirito, registered to this address. Also,
I know where to find him.
Exactly.
Like, here's his license plate number.
It's still a long shot. I mean, come on, guys. Like, it's like a redhead that drives a Toyota Corolla. I know who you are.
It's pretty.
But you're right.
Using the name
Kirito and being really good at things.
He just needs a new username.
He does.
It's
ladies man 217.
That was another Transformers reference.
Yes! Yes, it was!
Anyway, that basically wraps up this episode. Do you guys want to do predictions? I mean, we haven't watched through the remainder of the season, or should we just kind of leave it?
I predict that they're going to make it on time.
I predict that Bob will be interesting. I will forever call it Bob.
I would like to go back and predict that Asada's dad is actually Death Gun.
Pretty sure he's dead.
If he actually does wind up being Death Gun,
I will laugh. Her mom is Death Gun.
Oh!
Her grandpa's
Death
Gun. Sorry,
any other predictions? No.
There's no way I can beat him.
Kirito is Death Gun.
Lizzie,
that would be
Death
amazing.
That, like, it's a split personality
it's
thing.
It's like Spartacus. I am Death Gun. No, I am Death Gun.
Anyway.
Everybody's Death Gun.
Anyway, Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay. You can also find me, I forget.
You're on Korra next week.
I'm on Korra next week. And Doctor Who Classics.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, guys. I'm Liz Rishmaui. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui, LizzyMawy. Of course, you'll always find me every Sundays here for the Sword Online panel. You can also find me majority of the Doctor Who recaps, the original, the ones that we're actually doing now for the new ones, on every Monday night. And like Katie said, next week we are starting up Legend of Korra Season 4. Final! So check it out next week. It's right after this show.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I will not be joining Korra because I'm on Z Nation at the same time on Sunday while following this, and also on Classic Doctor Who on Wednesdays.
We're only going to have three elements now.
Aww.
You'll be unbalanced.
Ironic.
And I'm Megan.
You're Megatron.
I'm Megatron or Megan Salinas. You can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's TAGMENGUIN. I'm on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Thank you guys so much for watching this week. We will see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.